I've heard some people say, I just want to be happy in my marriage, but there's something called joy that's deeper, and we're going to have to be willing to give something up to get the greater joy. I'm John Fuller, joined by my Focus colleagues, Aaron and Greg Smalley. And Greg, we've talked about this concept before of laying your life down as a husband for Aaron, your wife. When we focus on our spouse, there's something that happens in our head that allows us to discover more joy somehow. What is that?
Yeah, it really does create joy, because laying down my life for Aaron, I think early on in my marriage, I thought, well, I would take a bullet for her. I'll make sure that I'm investigating whatever noise that she's hearing during the night. You know,
we all have like, a good story about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right? Keeping her safe and all that. But you know, I really understand now that laying down my life is all about sacrifice. Sacrifice means that I'm giving up something that I consider valuable to someone that I consider incredibly valuable. And so I think what that does for her and how that creates joy is I'm saying, Aaron, I see your value. You're incredibly valuable, and therefore, I want to lay down maybe what I want or what how I wanted to spend the evening or how I wanted to spend our money or whatever it is. So it's giving up something that I consider valuable, my time, you know, financial resources, anything like that, and saying, here, I offer that to you. I think the act of doing that creates joy within our relationship because Aaron feels valued. And so that creates joy that I feel good. I've given up something for her. I've laid down my life in that way. And it's beyond just, you know, oh, that made me so happy. There's a way in which that spiritual connectedness, because God is calling us to sacrifice for each other, as we do that, it creates a true joy within our relationship, because we appreciate each other. Like, we notice that. Like, I see when Aaron, you know, lays down her life when she sacrifices for me. And it not only makes me feel valued, but I get what she was doing. And that creates such a beautiful joy between us.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and hear now from Focus President Jim Daly. He and I spoke with Felicia Masonheimer and Lisa Jacobson, who offered helpful tips on ways to maintain joy even when life is busy.
I think, and Lisa, maybe you can address this, both of you. It just seems that there's voices in our ears when it comes to marriage. Some are friends that say, I can't believe you do that, or why would you do that? We seem to still set up these gender wars where you shouldn't give in to your husband like that, or to the husbands, why would she treat you like that? Why do we give in to some of those voices and not say, okay, what does the Lord say about a healthy relationship? And actually, the interesting thing to me, and what I've learned over years sitting and interviewing really smart people like you two, marriage is about selflessness. It's becoming more like Christ. And that's, I think, why he created it, is so that we can become more like him. So it should be a good thing that we're laying our lives down for each other. But there's people, especially in the women's movement, even Christians, who are offended by that, that somehow you're telling me to lay my life down for my husband. Women have been doing that for too long. Speak to that idea of mutual respect, mutual benefit, mutual selflessness.
Yeah, I think to keep that marriage love alive, you do have to lay down your life for one another. Ideally, you're both going to be doing
right.
it. But sometimes, depending on your season, sometimes it's a season of life. My husband was in a really heavy season, and he needed me to carry the weight of that and to help bring light and life and laughter into our relationship. So I didn't. If you just wait for him to do his part, those are years wasted sometimes, rather than really going, you know what, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I can love you and hope for better things. And in our experience, and I say ours personally, but even many couples that we know, they've had that same experience of, it was a good thing. It wasn't always easy, but it was a good thing.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Just getting back to laughter for a minute here, you described how that was difficult for you. I would not see that just having a few minutes getting to know you. I would think that humor would come very easily to you. You seem like that kind of person. Why was that in the beginning kind of a struggle for you and your husband?
I think because my husband and I are just very different people. And
that's true of most couples.
Yes, most couples. Very, very absolute opposite.
Yeah, check that box.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I allowed all of the responsibilities of my ministry, our work, Josh's job, my young kids, we homeschool, we have a farm, all of that together.
Tired.
Yeah, I'm tired
and
too.
And you put the tractor together.
But with all of those things, everybody has a lot going on. Yeah. And I allowed that, and sometimes still do allow that to remove the joy and the humor and the lightheartedness from our day-to-day relationship.
Because there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's pretty reasonable. Yeah. How do you fight that, though? How do you say, okay, I'm going to laugh with my husband tonight?
Right. I mean, that's the challenge, right, yeah. Is being willing to set down the onions, if you will. Put aside the onions. Put aside the should do or the to-do list and say, okay, we're just going to do something fun together, even if that's something that maybe he likes and I don't like as much.
Yeah.
So that I can enjoy something that I know he enjoys. It brings him happiness. And then I actually feel happy too.
You know, even hearing you say that, I feel a refreshing. It, to me, that's how I hear that. It just lifts me up to think about that, that you're choosing the right things. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, just that you're, I think that sparks that marriage. I mean, it just keeps it alive and thriving.
Yeah.
As opposed to down to the to-do list.
Right.
Which isn't that exciting.
I loved what Lisa and Felicia said about laughing together, and some couples might be thinking, I wish we had time to laugh together. I mean, the schedules are just so demanding. Erin, I'm going to look at you because you have an incredibly intense schedule, but you've figured out a way somehow for life to include rhythms of laughter and time away with mm-hmm. Greg. How do you do that? I mean, you're going for a doctorate. You're doing stuff here at Focus. You do podcasts. You do counseling practice. Mm-hmm. You shuttle your daughter around. You go to events. You're a pretty busy mom. You're not living in some, you know, princess fairyland time.
Caffeine.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would call my world. A world that God provides. That's what he provides time.
So how do you find it?
You know, we are really good at laughing just about the everyday. Everyday things that people say, things that happen. And I mean, the craziest things happen to us on a regular basis. So it's just continually communicating about, you know, what was the high of your day? And oftentimes it's funny. What was the low of your day? Sometimes there's something funny. So it's really, if you choose the lens that you see life through, you will find humor.
Yeah.
Well, even like social media, we are exposed to all these little funny little clips or little jokes or whatever. And Erin and I just make the point to just send that to each other. And so we'll have this tiny little moment of laughter, even when she's at her counseling office and I'm here at Focus on the Family, whatever. And we just have made a commitment to mm-hmm. do that. Just look for those little quick little hitters to where we know we're going to mm-hmm. laugh together. It just brightens our day and connects us as we do that.
I'm totally tracking with you. I mean, we've been married 39 years, and I know what can help Dina laugh. And it's a great win for the day if I can get her to laugh. And so we've gotten into a habit of sitting down at night and spending just 5 or 10 minutes looking at a video short
something.
Of a clean comedian or something, just to bring some sparks, some life, some joy. There are a lot of heavy things in mm-hmm. life, but if you don't build those moments, if you're not intentional about pursuing some laughter together, that connection is just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get you connected to your spouse a little bit stronger through the book that Lisa and Felicia wrote about and talked about today, The Flirtation Experiment, Putting Magic, Mystery, and Spark into Your Everyday Marriage. It's a pretty lighthearted book. It's got some moments of laughter in it. It's available for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Focus on the Family today. Make that one-time gift or monthly donation. We'll send the book to you. The details are in the show notes. And if you're wondering about how to get a gauge on where you're at as a couple, we've got a great tool. It's free. It's online. I think over 1 million people took the first iteration of this assessment. It's our free online marriage assessment. It's been updated, and it covers romance and sex and communication and so much more. It's a great diagnostic tool. It's free. We'll link over to it, and we'll encourage you to take that with your spouse tonight. Dr. Michael Seitzman joins us next time talking about owning your own stuff, your own feelings. And for now, on behalf of the Smalleys and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.